When I was a fallen away Catholic, I didn't have much of a moral compass. When a controversial issue would come up, I would generally try to avoid that conversation. Or should someone ask me about it, I would typically say that I wouldn't have an opinion. Back then, I was too focused on myself to care about the moral issues and things that other people and our society are struggling with. So at the time, I was complacent and didn't bother to learn more about any of these serious issues. However, after I returned to the faith, after I had experienced God's love, after I had encountered our Lord in prayer, I took an interest in pretty much everything that he had to say, including what he reveals to us about serious moral issues. God loves everyone, and out of love for all of us, he wants all of us to know how to be joyful here on earth and how to follow him and be with him forever in heaven. He knows how he created us, and he reveals to us these truths because they can be challenging to understand and figure out by reason alone. He created us, and he knows what's best for us. And so let's consider what God has revealed to us about human life from our first reading. In it we heard, "Now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb." This passage in our first reading reveals that life begins within the womb. We also know from many other passages of this truth. However, I will only limit it to three more passages where God talks about this through Holy Scripture. King David wrote in Psalm 139, "You formed me in my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb." St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, said, "God, who from my mother's womb had set me apart and called me through his grace." God, through his prophet Jeremiah, said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you." These passages and many others reveal the truth that human life begins even within the womb. That it isn't at birth or after birth, but much earlier, from the moment of conception. And not only Scripture, but also the Church's teaching and what we see in tradition support this truth that God has revealed. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is a summary of our faith, it says, "Human life must be respected and protected absolutely from the moment of conception. From the first moment of his existence, a human being must be recognized as having the rights of a person, among which the inviolable right of every innocent being to life. All human beings, whether they have only existed for 1 second or have existed for 120 years, they are precious in the eyes of God. They are his beloved. And they are to be protected and defended. And that's something that all of us are called to do, to defend the defenseless. One of the threats against life for the earliest members of the human race is abortion. Again, from the Catechism, we hear abortion as the deliberate termination of pregnancy by killing the unborn child. Such direct abortion, willed either as an end or a means, is gravely contrary to the moral law. The Catechism also says, "Since the first century, the Church has affirmed the moral evil of every procured abortion. This teaching has not changed and remains unchangeable. You shall not kill the embryo by abortion and shall not cause the newborn to perish." Now, some people may object and say, "Well, you know, that's all that religious stuff. And, you know, science doesn't really back that up." Well, anyone who holds that position must not be familiar with the truths of what we know about the development of children and the scientific research into this subject matter. Take, for example, Dr. Bernard Nathanson. You might not know him yourself, but he is an internationally known OBGYN and former abortionist. He co-founded what is now called the National Abortion Rights Action League, or NARAL. He is responsible for 60,000 abortions. And as he was working as an abortionist, he studied the development of a fetus in the womb using ultrasound technology. And in his investigation, he came to the conclusion that he made a horrible, horrible mistake. In his book, Aborting America, which was published in 1979, he wrote, and I quote, "Modern technologies have convinced us that beyond question, the unborn child is simply another human being, another member of the human community, indistinguishable in every way from any of us." Now, he wrote this as an atheist. He didn't have any religious bias. He wrote this simply from the evidence of his studies. He wrote this from what he discovered in his study of the fetus using modern technology and biology. He's just following the simple biological facts. But he's not the only doctor. Dr. Landrum Shettles, who is internationally known for his discoveries with sperm, fertility, and sterility, has this to say. "I oppose abortion. I do so first because I accept what is biologically manifest, that human life commences at the time of conception. And second, because I believe it is wrong to take innocent human life under any circumstances. My position is scientific, pragmatic, and humanitarian." Now, there are many other doctors who testify to the truth that life begins at conception. I've only quoted two of them, but I think you get the point, that the science is behind the truth that God revealed through Holy Scripture 2,000 or even 3,000 years prior. But not only doctors and science, even the Senate of the United States of America recognized this truth. In an official report, when they reviewed the bill for the Human Life Amendment, or the Human Life Bill, back in 1981, the Senate report had this to say, and I quote, "Physicians, biologists, and other scientists agree that conception marks the beginning of the life of a human being, a being that is alive and is a member of the human species. There is overwhelming agreement on this point in countless medical, biological, and scientific writings." Sadly, this bill and many other pro-life bills are simply sent to committee where they never have the opportunity to become law. However, it seems rather clear that science shows that life begins at conception, and all human life must be protected, and that includes those who are newly conceived. To terminate that life in abortion is to commit a grave sin. Realistically, many women who have undergone abortion did so because they were scared and they were confused. Scared of what it might mean for them to try to carry the child to term and to be that mother caring for the child, perhaps by themselves, in this difficult situation. Confused because so many people in society push them in the direction of abortion, and so many people from the abortion industry promote their own interests. That oftentimes these women who are in distress, in a difficult situation, they simply accept the flawed advice given to them and decide to terminate the life of their child, seeking what seems to be the easy way out of that difficult situation. However, there's plenty of resources to assist anyone who might find themselves in that position or in that situation. There are many resources that can help a young woman in an unexpected pregnancy, not only to carry the child all the way to term, but also for having a successful life. That doing so isn't going to be the end of any ideas or plans for a career. In the St. Louis metropolitan area, we have at least 14 organizations with 32 locations to help women who find themselves in this situation where they're considering the possibility of abortion. These organizations offer free pregnancy testing, financial assistance, free supplies, medical care, free ultrasounds, adoption services, housing, and much more for anyone who might need it. Some examples of these places that can assist women in this situation would include Birthright St. Louis, Birthright St. Charles, and Thrive St. Louis. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance, please seek out one of these organizations. They are, again, Birthright St. Louis, Birthright St. Charles, and Thrive St. Louis. That's just three of the 14 organizations that are willing to help anyone in need. No one should make the same mistake that unfortunately so many have already made. In fact, it would not surprise me if someone here had experienced an abortion or knows someone who has. If there's any such person here present, I just want you to know that God loves you. He cares about you. And he knows what you are going through. Many women are left with a lot of pain, guilt, and shame, and despair after having an abortion. They may feel isolated or alone. But those who are suffering from the effects of abortion are called to seek out that mercy and grace and forgiveness that God wants to offer them. That he is greater than any sin. God wants to save us from our sins. And we heard about that in our gospel passage, where John, referring to Jesus, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." This gift of forgiveness and mercy is available in the confessional. And one of the great joys that I have as being a priest is to be that instrument of mercy and forgiveness, to be present in that moment where God, by his grace, washes a soul clean of any guilt, of all their sins. And we are blessed here at Ascension to be able to offer confession 6 out of 7 days a week. Additionally, the Archdiocese of St. Louis provides services for anyone who may have been wounded by abortion. And they offer that to any woman through a program called Project Rachel. And for any man who has been wounded by abortion, there's another project called Project Joseph to help bring about healing, to help bring about forgiveness, to help a person overcome the reality of abortion. So I encourage anyone who's been wounded by it to seek out that mercy, that grace, and that forgiveness that God has to offer. None of us should be complacent when it comes to the life and death issue of abortion. All life is precious in the eyes of God, and it must be defended. I'm not complacent anymore, and I'm happy to say that I will be joining our youth group this week, going to the March for Life in Washington, D.C. This will be my 7th time going and marching to be a voice for the voiceless, to defend the defenseless. And I'll be joining about 400,000 to 600,000 people in that march on Friday. And so I encourage you that if you are able to get involved in some way to help the pro-life cause, that you would take advantage of those opportunities and do so. One great opportunity is this week here at Ascension at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We are having a Respect Life Mass to pray for those who are considering abortion, for those who have fallen victim to it, for anyone who may need assistance, for the conversion of hearts, to help people in need. And if you go to that Mass this Wednesday at 7 p.m., you can hear a wonderful homily by your favorite priest, Father Molini. Other opportunities to get involved in the pro-life movement can be found at the Respect Life table at Winterfest next weekend. Even if you're not able to participate in any such pro-life activities, there's one thing that all of us can do, and that is we can pray. We can pray for an end to abortion. We can pray for a healing of those who have been wounded by it. We can pray for those considering abortion that they may be touched by the grace of God to choose life for their child and seek out the assistance that they need. We can pray for our youth group who are going to participate in the March for Life, and pray for all of those who are marching on Friday. This week we are remembering the Supreme Court Justice decision of Roe v. Wade. And let us this week pray for the protection of all human life. And in fact, not just each day throughout this week, but even here, even now, as we prepare ourselves to encounter the Creator of life and life himself, Jesus Christ, in the most holy Eucharist.